Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
All right. So last week, the title of the message was You're Free to... All right, let's put it up. Let's go to the next slide so they can see it. All right. You're free to
start fresh.
All right, and you can start fresh with, Scriptures, and we can start fresh with fellowship. That's right, that's right. Okay, we're getting there today. We're getting there. Yes, yes. And I promised you last week that we're going to close out Luke 24. This is actually part three of Luke 24. We're going to close it out this week. We're going to run it back to see what lessons we can gain. But this time, we're going to do it together. Everybody say together.
Together.
That's right. That's right. So I need everybody, if you have not done so already, to take out your phones and log on to menti.com because you're going to help me out today. All right. Yes, 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 yes. All right, let's go to the next slide. This is what we saw last week. We got some good data. We appreciate you for being honest about where we are when it comes to meditating on the scriptures, And as you can see from this pie chart, there is an incredible opportunity for us to grow in our knowledge and depth in the scriptures, right? To go deeper with God through his word. And, you know, I want to encourage us because I would like for us to set a simple goal this year. If you found yourself in the blue last week where, you know what, I don't get into the word at all. I haven't started yet. My encouragement for you is to go ahead and get to that pink part of the pie chart. If you're in the pink and you're like, yeah, I get there one or two days, I want to just get to that red part, right? If you're in the red, go to yellow. If you're on yellow, go to green. Just step up and take it to the next level here in 2023. Really simple goal, right? We like achievable goals, things that we can measure and we can see our progress. Amen. So after I read this and I saw this, I said, you know what? There's some great opportunity. We have great opportunity to grow here as a church. And we have a great church. So you can just imagine if we continue to grow in our relationship with God through the scriptures, how much more we'll grow ourselves as a church, right? So that's going to be exciting. But it also made me more curious. So I have a follow-up question for us today. What is it that hinders you from meditating on the scriptures? You see, I didn't want to jump to conclusions. You know, that's not what a good pastor does. You know, and so just start preaching to you. I want to know from you. Tell me, what is it that hinders you from meditating on the scriptures on a daily basis? All right, tell us. And the good thing about this, you know what I did? I said, you can choose more than one. So you don't even have to pick one. You can keep, if it's all of them, all five, choose all five. We want to know. What is it that hinders us from meditating on the scriptures? It seems like distraction is at the top of this data. And then just being undisciplined. What does that mean? That means that we know the good we ought to do, but we don't do it. That means we know we should be. We know how to. Most of us, we just do not know how to be men and women of our word. Okay, that's good. Busyness. Yes, I could relate to that one. There's always something else to do. So thank you. We have 128 people so far that have let us know. So thank you so much for letting us know what hinders us from meditating on the scriptures. Okay, well, today what we're going to do is we're going to meditate on the scriptures together. Okay, so I want everybody to cross their legs and put their arms like this. No, we're not doing that. I know some of us like to do that. You know, we go to yoga and, you know, Pilates, yeah. And maybe that's where our mind goes when we think about meditation. But we're going to simplify things for us today. Today, you're going to help me with this sermon. We're going to take time to learn how to meditate on Scripture together. We're going to actually not just learn how to do it, we're going to do it. We're going to create. What is meditation? My wife, from a book that we've been reading, shared this. It's just creating space to listen to God. That's it. We're just creating space to listen to God, for God to speak to us through His Word. So today you'll need a journal or your notes app. You'll need to write some stuff down today, okay? All right, so if you already have your phone out, go ahead and open up the Bible app. You're going to read a little bit on your own today. So go ahead and open up the Bible app. And on the Bible app, you can actually take notes on the Scriptures right then and there if you are savvy enough to do that. Or you can open up your notes app, and I'm going to ask you to take notes in there. Or if you have a physical notebook, I see a physical notebook in the house. We have one right here. We have one right here. We have one in the back. All the physical notebooks are in the house. In the balcony, I see you. Yes. We got pens and paper. Come on now. If you don't have neither, ask somebody to give you a piece of paper and a pen. All right? Because you are going to need it today. While you figure that out, let's bring us up to date. Luke 24 is about, it is telling us the story of what happened after Jesus resurrected from the tomb. And there was two disciples, Cleo and his buddy, Cleopas, and his buddy were traveling back home to Emmaus. About, I believe, a seven-mile journey back home. They were disappointed and sad because they had hoped that Jesus was going to redeem the kingdom and Israel. And now they were disillusioned and disappointed because their king, their Messiah, everything they had hoped for, they had seen him die on the cross. And while they're walking, Jesus meets them on the road to Emmaus. And he doesn't reveal himself at first. He's just somebody that, hey, what's going on? And he asks them, what's happening? Why are you going back? What's going on? And they're like, have you not heard? Jesus died. He was a prophet. And he's like, no, tell me more. And then Jesus goes on to teach them from the Scriptures exactly what the prophecy had said about the Messiah. And he went back into the Scriptures, explained it to them. And as they were going back home, they got back and they invited this gentleman. They didn't know it was Jesus. They invited him to stay with them. They had a meal together. And when Jesus broke the bread, boom, their eyes were open. They could see that it was Jesus. Can you imagine that? One second you think he's dead, even though you already know that the women went to the tomb and it was empty, and even Peter went to the tomb, it was empty. You didn't believe them, and all of a sudden you're eating with the guy you thought was dead. See, sometimes we read the Scriptures like not real life. Like, you're eating with somebody. You understand that? And all of a sudden, it's Jesus. Okay? And then after they realized that, what happened next? Jesus vanished. He disappeared right there in that moment. Then they start talking to him. Didn't our hearts burn while he was sharing the Scriptures with us? And immediately they turned around that very hour, packed up their stuff, got their toiletries. They packed a bag. They said, we may never come back to Emmaus. We're going back to Jerusalem. We got to go find the disciples in Jerusalem. And that's where we pick up the story today. Now, what I want you to do first is I want you to read this story yourself, okay? We're going to take some time for you to read. We're going to start in verse 35, and we're going to read through the end of the chapter, okay? Start in verse 35, and silently, you're going to read through the end of the chapter. As you do that, listen up real quick. As you do that, because we're going to have some time, quiet time. I know we're not used to quiet time, like silence, okay? But what we're going to do during that time is we are going to highlight or underline, if you have a paper Bible, whatever jumps out to you about those Scriptures. As you're reading, oh, man, look at that, boom. Boom, boom, okay? So whatever jumps out to you about those scriptures, you're going to read verse 35 to 53. And once you're done with that, you're going to go on Menti and you're going to hit the little green light, okay? So I know that you're done. Let's take about 2 minutes here, 2 or 3 minutes, to read through and just highlight or underline what stands out to us. Before we do that, I missed one very, very important step. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we just ask you right now, we thank you for a chance to be here together, to get into your word together, to worship and fellowship together, God. And right now, Lord, I just pray that you will open our hearts, our eyes to see the way you allowed the disciples to see Jesus while they were eating with them. Help us to see what you want to reveal to us, God. So just reveal what you want to reveal to us at this moment as we read your scriptures. Give us understanding. Just tug at our hearts at whatever we need to see from the end of this story in this passage. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, seems like most of us are getting through this passage. Okay, thank you so much. And I will be reading out of the NLT. Also want to encourage all of our YouTubers to even if you're watching now or you're watching later, don't skip over this part. Let's do this together to see what God reveals to us together. Okay, so we're going to take this passage and we're going to break it up into three parts, okay? And then we're going to go a little deeper into it, okay? So let's start in verse 35 here, verse 35. So we can go ahead and go to the next slide. And let's read this together, okay? And I'm going to share with you some of the things that jumped out at me, okay? Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt?" Okay, just a second there. Let's stop for a second there. This is what jumped out at me first. They told their story. So immediately I'm like, man, like, it's so powerful when we get to tell the story of our encounters with Jesus, right? So the fact that they told their story jumped out to me. The next thing was that they thought they were seeing a ghost. See, I don't know about you. I like to have a little fun with the scriptures. So what this is telling me is that ghosts are real. They just don't have a physical body, right? Obviously, because if there was no ghost, Jesus would be like, "What are you talking about? Ghosts aren't real." Right? But Jesus is like, "No, I have a physical body, so I'm not a ghost." So obviously there's ghosts. I hope you have fun in the scriptures. I hope you don't just read over the stuff like this. Like, they're having a whole debate about ghosts right here. You know? That's what makes the Bible so much fun. Okay, so those are a couple things there. Let's keep reading. In verse 39, "Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies. You see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" Okay, now we're getting there. "They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched." He's just looking at him like, and he's just chowing down. Okay, what jumped out at me? They were filled with joy and wonder. Angel, are you still seeing Jesus with joy and wonder? Is this still exciting to you? Is he still amazing to you? Is he still real to you? Do you experience joy and wonder? The other thing for me was, wow, there's an intimacy that Jesus wanted them to have. It was like, look, touch, eat. Like, let's do this together, right? So let's go to the next slide and look at some of these bullet points as we break down this passage. I want to hear what you got, right? So we want to ask ourselves questions. As we get into the scriptures, we're meditating on the word. It's just ask yourself a lot of questions. Ask God those questions and ask for him to reveal it to us. We have to be curious. This has to be a curiosity about the scriptures, okay? And do this before you read a commentary. Do this before you read what somebody else wrote in their devotional. Because, yeah, God can use that, but what is God trying to communicate with you? How did devotionals and commentaries come about? Because they meditated on the scriptures, they researched the scriptures, right? They asked God for revelation on the scriptures, and that's the difference between experiencing God ourselves or just going along the ride with somebody else, right? And then what I do is I do look at the commentaries, but then it's good because I either get something new or I get confirmation. I'm like, wow, God, I'm not even a Bible scholar like that. And I saw that in the scripture, so it's kind of cool in that way. Okay, so what questions you see them there? Who, what, when, where, how, or why? What does this mean for them? You always want to ask yourself, what does this mean for them first? Okay, before what it means for us. Because there's something Jesus was teaching them. There's an experience he was having with them first. That's important. And then what does it mean for me? Okay, what do I learn? The easiest thing is, what do I learn about Jesus here, about his character, and then what can I imitate about Jesus? Okay, so that's going to be the question for you right now. What do you learn about the character of Jesus? Okay, what do you learn about the, go to the next slide. What do you learn about the character of Jesus? Go ahead and write that down. I mean, put that in your phone. What do you learn from this passage? Well, just this part, not the whole thing, just this part. What do you learn about the character of Jesus? The character of Jesus is his essence, It's his personality. It's what he believes, how he carries himself, how he treats people, right? That's our characters, who we are, right? So what do we learn about the character of Jesus? Patience. That's really good. Humorous. Yes, I believe Jesus was funny. I know Jesus. Listen, guys like to have fun when we're hanging out. And if, you know, for Jesus to hang out with all those guys, he had to be fun to hang out with. Down to earth, he's reassuring and consistent. Look at this. This is amazing. He's real, a jokester. He just shows up when he wants to, absolutely. Powerful and playful. He's compassionate. He's humble, welcoming. Look at all this. He knows people. He's unifying. He's a foodie. He's hungry. Yes, yes, absolutely. He's comforting. He's confident. He knew who he was. Now I want you to ask yourself, how can I be more like Jesus in that way this week? Maybe we need to be a little bit more lighthearted this week. Maybe we've been down and it's been tense at home. Do this. Get your chores done. Homework. Let's go eat. Come on. I mean, it's a little tough at home. Maybe we need to joke, have a little fun at home. Maybe we need to eat some fish at home this week, right? Maybe we need to do some magic tricks with our kids, right? I don't know, but think about for yourself, whatever you notice about Jesus, there's a reason why you notice that. That's an answered prayer. That's the reason why God revealed that to you. That's why it stood out to you, and why it stood out to somebody else is different. So then the question becomes, okay, how can I be more like Jesus this week in that way? What stuck out to me was that he was patient with the people he's trying to help. I mean, he stood there. He had been with his disciples for 3 years. He had just left the guys, Cleo and them. And he shows back up, and you would think for sure Cleo would be like, no, guys, this is exactly what we just went through. This is really him. No, it says they were still trying to comprehend. So Jesus, even in this moment, takes time to be patient. So you know what? With those I'm helping and serving, I need to be patient this week. I need to be more patient this week, okay? Let's go to the next passage of Scripture in verse 44. Can I get an amen if that was helpful?
Amen.
Let's go to the next passage in verse 44. Let's see what happens next. Then he said, when I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Fills you with from heaven. Okay, let's go to the next slide. The next question here. What jumped out at you about this part of the story? Just one or two words, just a little phrase. What jumped out at you? What did you highlight? What did you underline? He opened their minds. That's so good. Because some of us, like, I just can't understand the Scriptures. Have you prayed about it? Do you know that's something that supernaturally can happen? When you don't understand something, God can supernaturally open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to understand the Scriptures. And then you know what also is real? There's sometimes he doesn't. That's crazy to me. That sometimes he's like, you ain't ready for that just yet. You're just not, I don't want you to get that right now. Because if one is true, the other has to be true as well, right? Like, it just didn't happen for them in that moment. He opened their minds. He helped them understand. Yes, let's see what else. He gave them peace. He gave them peace, fulfilling promises. He walks in his legacy. Prophecy is real. Mindfulness. Jesus forgives sin, changes hearts and minds. You know, I'm surprised what I'm not seeing on here, because I believe it's the main theme of this passage of Scripture. Huh? Who said it? It was written. How many times does he say it was written? I told you that everything written about me. Then he references the Scriptures again in 45. He opened their minds to the Scriptures that which were written about him. In verse 46, yes, it was written long ago. In verse 47, it was also written. When you look at Scriptures, you got to look for the theme. God, Jesus was making a point. He made it about the Scriptures in this moment. He knew he was about to leave. He knew they would still have the prophecies. See, I want you to have deep conviction on the Word of God. I want you to hold on to this. I'm about to be gone. And it says the Spirit will remind you of all these things. So even the Spirit works hand in hand with the Scriptures. The Spirit is never going to reveal to you or say something to you that's not in the Bible, in the Word of God. Right? And so Jesus is like, I want you to understand, even when he was going on to die on the cross, remember what he said? He's like, I was teaching the Scriptures. He said, how else would this be fulfilled? That it would happen in this way if I don't go through with this torture. He wanted to make sure that, as he said, that everything that happened in the Scriptures came to life. And that's what we're learning here today, the importance of the Scriptures. Amen. Then he says that they would, that there's a specific message that would be proclaimed in the authority of the name of the Messiah to all nations. What is that message? That forgiveness of sins for all who repent. Forgiveness of sin for all who repent. We're going to talk about that in just a second, but let's go to the next slide. Now that you have filled out this word cloud, how can we practically apply this to our lives? How can we practically apply what we just learned, the thing that God revealed to us, right? And so the beautiful thing about studying out Scripture together is that we see all these different things that we may not have seen ourselves, right? That's why the church is so important. But I want to ask you, how practically can we apply this to our lives? Because we know that the Word of God is living and active, right? And so how does the Word of God come alive in our lives is when we actually do it, okay? So this is the other thing you do as you read the Scriptures is you think about other Scriptures that that go along with this passage. You think about the parable of when Jesus was telling the story of the two people that were building their house, right? And he says, one person built their house on the rock and the other person built their house on sand. What was the difference? They both heard the words from Jesus. Only one of them put them into practice, right? So think about things like that. Okay, forgive ourselves and others. Believe in and actually read the Bible. Meditate on Scripture. Make the Bible, the Word, the standard in my life. Pray to God. Look, this is practical stuff that we can do. This is when we start experiencing God for ourselves. I love when Jesus says, I believe it's in John 7, if anybody wants to know whether or not what I'm saying comes from God or if it's just from me, do the will of God and you'll see. I love that. It's like a money-back guarantee. Jesus says, do it, and you'll know if this is from God or not. If it's not, then you'll know. He's like, the proof is in the pudding, right? Practice patience. Ask God for understanding. Good, 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 good. Thank you all so much. Thank you so much. What was that message? Let's talk about that message for just a second, that there's forgiveness of sin for all who repent. That's what he wanted to proclaim to the world, right? That there is forgiveness of sin for all who repent. That is the gospel message. What is the issue? Sin is the issue. That's the issue. Sometimes some of us are like, we've been saved. And you've been saved from what? I'm saved now. What are we saved from? We're saved from sin. Like, well, how'd you get saved? I just asked to be saved, or I just asked to be forgiven. It's like, okay, well, how does God teach that we're going to be forgiven of our sin? Because he teaches us that, right? But we know that sin is the issue, forgiveness is the solution, and repentance is the requirement. And so from this passage, it's very, very clear. There is forgiveness of sin for all who repent. Where I believed, I just got to believe. Well, we don't just take one scripture. I confessed. Okay, it's Romans 10. That's one scripture. But if whatever Jesus says I need to do to get forgiven, I'm going to do all of that. Right? And so repentance, and the repentance he's talking about here is turning away from the world and turning towards God. It's making Jesus Lord. That's biblical repentance. That's the repentance that's required for salvation. If you don't do that, it's anybody can know. Even the demons believe in Jesus. You think that's hard? Like, it's harder to disprove Jesus than it is to the fact that he lived. I mean, that's harder. Atheists work really hard. Way harder than us. That's really hard, right? Making Jesus Lord, there's no forgiveness without repentance. Forgiveness happens, we read in the Bible, when we repent and we are baptized. That's what Acts 2 says, Acts 2:38. We get forgiveness of sin, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, and I'm so excited because we're going to have two baptisms here today. And it's going to be exciting. I'm very excited about what God is doing because, you know, it's just amazing to see people respond to the gospel. Amen. And to live this out, to say, you know what, I really want to live this out now, you know. And I'm very encouraged by how we're helping people who are on that journey to get their sins forgiven. We're living out what Jesus said here to proclaim this message. Hey, there's forgiveness of sin. You don't have to live in your guilt. You don't have to live in your pain. You don't have to live in your regrets, right? There is forgiveness of sin. And this was the message. This same message is the message that not only leads us to follow Jesus, but it leads us to love our neighbor in a way that makes us concerned for their well-being. Amen. That's what Dr. King preached. Thank you, Eddie, for sharing that. He taught the teachings of Jesus. He was a preacher, okay? So the world can't just hijack his message. He partnered with churches. Right? And so this message not only allows us to love God, but also to love people. And it doesn't stop there. Like, it didn't stop with Dr. King. I am too grateful to be part of a church that's involved in serving the community here and beyond. You know, some of you may know our friend and partner in the gospel, William Calloway, who's in Chicago. I've shared about him before. Well, you all know the violence that's happening in Chicago. He's starting a program called Passports for Peace. This is what he's doing, y'all. He asked the state. He fundraised, and the state gave him some money to be able to start this program where he signs teenagers and young adults up in the hood. He's in South Shore of Chicago and says, I want to take you around the country. So he's flying them around the country to be able to experience different things and take them out of the situation they're in. And sometimes they have to see something different, right? But in order to do that, they have to wave a white flag, so no more gang violence during this time. Why? Because he's taking kids from different blocks and different gangs to go together. That's what this gospel message produces. But I want us to say a prayer because they're playing with his money. The state was playing with his money, then the bank is playing with his money. Okay, so they don't want to free up the funds that he has already gained so he can start his program. And because of the red tape, two of the kids have already died from gun violence. So when I tell you the longer that we wait, that he has to wait, more kids are dying on the street. Okay? So put that, you have your notes, put that down. Pray for Will Calloway and Passports for Peace. Because we need that money freed up today. I know it's Sunday, but God, come on now. By tomorrow morning, tomorrow's MLK Day, free it up, man. Tuesday morning, it should be in his bank account so we can get these kids up out of their situation. All right, be praying about that. That's what this gospel message does. All right, let's finish up here in verse 50, okay? In verse 50, then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy, and they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. Oh, my goodness. I love this, right? He blessed them, being blessed by Jesus himself. And as he's blessing them, he's just going up to heaven and blessing them while he goes. He had a few more things to say as he's going up into the clouds. Oh, and don't forget about Peter, God, and pray for Cleopas, you know, he won't be startled anymore. And Thomas, let us all stop doubting. And they were just filled with joy. And then I thought about, because I'm curious, what happens next? What happens right after this? Don't you want to know what the rest of the story is? Because it doesn't stop here. Let's look at Acts chapter 1. Luke, who wrote the book of Luke, Dr. Luke, as I would call him, also wrote the book of Acts. And he goes on. And in the beginning, he alludes to this in verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. So they were constantly united in prayer as they were worshiping, as they were praising God, right? They were united in prayer as they were waiting, as they were looking forward to a new thing, as they were together. All great opportunities to unite in prayer, right? When you're together, when you're waiting for something new, there's something new that's happening. While you're waiting, it's a great time to join together in prayer. And prayer actually helps us to meditate on the scriptures. That's something else you can do. Go through the Psalms and actually pray those prayers. Some of those are prayers that are written down. Just pray through the scriptures, and God will reveal different things to you about those scriptures. So we witnessed the power of prayer a couple of weeks ago. This incident took the whole country and by storm. I mean, DeMar Hamlin from the Buffalo Bills, he suffered cardiac arrest on the field on Monday Night Football. Just about everybody heard about this. And I want to take a moment to thank all the medical professionals that we have here that are literally saving lives. Thank you. Let's give them a round of applause. We have doctors and nurses. Man, sometimes we take you for granted until we really need you. So thank you so much. And so, you know, many say what they usually say: we're sending thoughts and prayers. I don't know what sending thoughts will do, but I know what sending prayers, you know, will do. But one ESPN analyst, instead of asking for prayer, actually did it. Let's look at this video.
Football gave me everything. You know, and I think even through the midst of absolute tragedy last night, I think you saw some of the beauty of football as well, that it's brought us all here together. You know, like, this is a little bit different. I've heard it all day, like, thoughts and prayers. And you just heard Scherf and Jonathan Allen say, like, all we can do is pray for him. And I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say that we believe in prayer. And maybe this is not the right thing to do, but it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it is.
DeMar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him. God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that you're God, and coming to you and praying to you has impact. We're sad. We're angry, and we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray, truly come to you, and pray for strength for DeMar, for healing for DeMar, for comfort for DeMar, to be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up DeMar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 It's beautiful.
Respectfully.
In all of my years as a sports fan, I have never seen anybody pray on national, not in sports like that. I've never seen that. I mean, the courage and conviction that he had. And I know how he feels. I mean, he was like, am I really going to do this right now? You know what I mean? And he did it, right? It was so powerful. And do you know that DeMar Hamlin has been released from the hospital? He was with his team yesterday. He was with his team. He went back to the facility yesterday. That's powerful. There was people all over this country and this world praying for him. And if we ever need a picture of the power of prayer, that is it. God's going to get his glory. You know, I think about Matthew 18, 19, when Jesus says, again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. You know what I do at home, me and Christina? Me and Christina, when we pray, we just say, I agree. I agree. What are you praying? You praying about that? Okay, God, I agree. We're united in prayer. Are we united in prayer? Last night, we went skating. Layla left her purse at the skating rink. And then we were going to Mellow Mushroom. And it was like right during peak hours. So we said a prayer. We said, on the way there, said, God, we pray. And you know, I teach us to pray for best case scenario, right? Sometimes we settle. Say, God, we pray there's no wait time at Mellow Mushroom. We pray that we get a corner booth. I need a TV, Lord, so I can watch football, right? And help them to find Layla's purse. We got there. There's no wait. We got the corner booth. I had two TVs. And they called us while we were at Mellow Mushroom. They found a purse. You say, what are you praying about? I pray about everything. I'm trying to pray about everything. Like, if he said, like, let's hold God to this verse. Let's hold him to this. I've seen him work time and time again. We're going to get a chance to do this week as we pray and fast together. Let's go to that next slide, and we're going to talk through this a little bit so we're all prepared for prayer and fasting, right? Let's go to the next slide. We're going to start fasting on Monday evening. Tomorrow evening, we're going to start fasting, and we're going to close our fast on Thursday evening. That's three full days, okay? Think about how you want to fast. If you want to go no food, just water, that's what I will be doing for those for that time. If you want to do sunup to sundown during that time, if you want to do from morning to whatever it is, choose something and stick by it. Maybe you don't, health-wise, you can't give up food. That's fine. Abstain from something. Social media, TV, video games, whatever it may be, that's distracting you from spending time with God. You can choose. God's going to be pleased with your heart to give up something. Y'all, as Americans, we need to fast. You understand that? We got so much. We got to choose to not eat. There's some people in this world that they don't have to choose to not eat. They just don't have food to eat. We have to choose to, I got to put down my iPhone for a few hours. Daggone it. And I get to pick it back up in 3 days. You know what I mean? Like, do you understand the level of entitlement and privilege that we have, that we need it? Because we're so used to getting everything we want. We need to say no to something for some time so we can learn how to depend on God. It's amazing. I look back on last year, what we fasted about. We fasted about the completion of this building. We're here, y'all. God answered that. We fasted about Path Academy to be a spiritual educational influence on these children in our community. We're still working on that, so that's why we're going to keep praying about that. We prayed about worshiping together in person, that transition, because it was hard, remember? I mean, it may still be hard for some of us, but that transition was hard. And we prayed for our eldership. Pray for our elders. Let's go to the next slide. We appointed elders last year. Yes. So let's look at our prayer request for this year. It's always good to look back and see what did God do as a result of our prayer and fasting. So let's go to the next slide and look at our prayer requests for this year. Please take a screenshot of this. We'll get this out on our, or take a picture. We'll get this out in our internal communication. We're going to be praying through our theme, Never Alone, as we live out this theme for the year, that we can cultivate a deeper relationship with God, with each other in our mission groups, and that we are a beacon for those who are searching for God. We need to pray for Path Academy Children's Center. We need a special use permit now. I just found out we need a special. They told us we didn't need it. Now they tell us we do need it. We need to pray about getting approved by the city to be able to serve the children, okay? and specifically those who are homeless and are experiencing housing insecurities. That's who the demographic that we want to serve, and that's the demographic we're fighting for. So please be praying for that. And then church plant, we're praying that God will provide the people to go, the place to plant, and the provisions to make it happen. So pray about that. There is a location in the city, Sandy Springs, where God is doing some stuff. So please be praying about that. And if that's it, he'll provide everything we need to start a ministry there, a campus there of the path. And if not, that he'll move us to where he wants us to go. Okay? As we close out, I want to give us a scripture, a passage to meditate on while we fast. Okay? So I want us to meditate on Psalm 19. While we're fasting this week, I want us to meditate on Psalm 19. Okay? And this is how Psalm 19 closes out in verse 14. May the words of my mouth, it's our prayer, right, and what we say, and the meditation of my heart, as we meditate on the scriptures, be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's go ahead and pray for our communion. Right now, we're going to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We're going to remember him by taking communion. If you don't have a communion packet, go ahead and raise your hand right now. Our host team will get that to you. We're going to say a prayer, and then we're going to take it together. All right, let's go ahead. Let's take a moment to bow our heads right now. Remember Jesus, what he did for us. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. Jesus, it says that Jesus is your word. He is your wisdom personified. Thank you for opening our hearts today, opening our minds. Thank you for this opportunity to just do it together, just to do this together, God, to learn from one another. God, I pray that the things we learn will stick to our hearts, and that we can put those things into practice. Please help us to become more like Jesus this week. Please be with us as we fast and as we pray to you this week, that we'll be united, God. We're united in prayer over these things, God, and we stand on your promise that when we're gathered in unity, God, that you will answer those prayers, that you said it will be done for us. We ask you to do these things for us, Father, that you'll be with us in this time. Father, we pray for Will Calloway and Passports for Peace. God, we know that the enemy is opposing this, and we know why, Father. But we pray for your powerful angels to come in to release the funds that he needs to get this program going, to get these kids out of the hood, to stop the violence in Chicago, Father God. And God, I pray that it'll be a format that we can mirror even here in Atlanta and across the country, Father God, so we can help our children, our young adults, God, to understand peace, Lord. We know that you give us peace, Father, and so we remember you right now. We remember Jesus dying on the cross for us. We take this cracker that represents the body of Christ, and we take this juice that represents the blood that was shed for us, Father. We thank you for that, God, and God, just be with us as we reflect on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.